a story publishing presents Black Line Protocol. They patched her through on the black line that still smelled of Bakelite and secrets. No video. Only the director's voice, bleached of origin, almost but not quite human. Natalie, file incoming. Eyes only. Are you prepared? The ache in her chest answered first, out of place in Langley's climate-controlled sub-basement. An intern, badge still warm from lamination, handed her a blue plastic drive and the obligatory manila envelope of deniability. She slotted the drive, left the envelope closed. Three photographs bloomed on the monitor. First, a cottage, roof collapsed, pine trunks charcoaled around it. Second, men in rebreather masks combing embers under ochre floodlights. Third, a rucksack, the one she and Elias had winter-proofed years ago, webbing intact, shoulder strap miraculously unburnt. No body, the director said. That's all I'll say on open comms. Bureveshnik is active. You remember Marek Tom? Retired capo liaison. He'll meet me. This stays off ledger. You write the report. You carry the fallout. Last chance to walk. The ache spread. Less grief than debt coming due. I'll need two operators. Cruz for mesh, Jay Chang for field support. I'll draft the family cover in transit. A long beat. Then you're in. I'm in. She cut the line, leaving the last silence on his side. Cruz lived in a fifth-floor war room that stank of cold pizza and fried capacitors. Headphones askew, eyes filmed with sleepless blue light. You're trending, he said without looking up. Pack for a week. Baltic weather. Tell whoever signs your checks you're ghosting for a private client. He swiveled, finally focusing. Langley favor or Natalie favor? Elias. Something in his shoulders loosened. Something else tightened. You know, Chang still hasn't forgiven the brass for Bucharest. Treat this as practice. Her attempt at a smile earned a grunt. Jay Chang surfaced on the Vienna node, hair scraped back, distrust coiled tight. You're on a black line, she said. Who else? Just us. Natalie laid out the photographs, the missing body, the sibling cover. Jay as younger sister, Cruz the estranged cousin sniffing for Baltic real estate. Parent-teacher night's gonna be a riot, Jay muttered, but she took the role. Practicality outranked resentment. Local help? Marek Tam. Still breathing? Impressive. Agreement of a kind. To Marek, she wrote, old friend, need winter shelter, arriving with family. Are you there? 3 hours later, roof is ready, Natalia. Cafe by the old wall. Password Mercury. No tales, concise and telling. He expected trouble, and worse, expected her to bring it. Passport control at Lennart Mary dripped with November sleet and fluorescent fatigue. Natalie Anna Kim, older sister, 38, handed over a pristine passport. Cruz Jimenez, bearded cousin, followed. Jay Chang, scowling sibling, closed ranks. The board officer stamped three times and waved them through. Outside, the rain turned to wet needles. You realize your cafe isn't on any map, Jay said, tugging her hood low. Cruz hefted his duffel. Was hoping for a McDonald's, you people and your tourism. No one laughed. The rental flat crouched behind cracked stucco off Pick Street, smelling of stone sweat and linseed oil. Natalie traced curtain seams for transmitters by habit. Cruz unpacked gadgetry, killing the building's Wi-Fi in four languages. Jay ghosted room to room with a detection wand, muttering about Soviet nostalgia. When they regrouped around a chipped kitchen table, the city felt far away. The room a lung holding one long breath. Elias met Bureveshnik on their ground, Natalie began. Our edge is Marek, and whatever goodwill he still feels. We move tomorrow. Cruz spread a terrain map on his phone. I'll run a low-altitude drone past tonight. Heat signatures only. Assume every packet gets mirrored, Jay warned, including the ones you think are air-gapped. Natalie noticed Jay's thumb circling her encrypted SIM like a rosary, earned paranoia. Phone's dark after this meeting, she ordered. Nobody touches the local grid. Cruz exhaled, eyes red-rimmed. So tonight we just wait for a ghost. We prepare, she said. Remember, he might not be one. The others drifted to bed. Natalie stayed in the amber afterglow of the kitchen bulb, studying satellite prints. Burn patterns too clean, tech peat too evenly scorched. Accidental fires never looked so tidy. Her finger paused over the notation, Elias's rucksack found here, trying to close the distance between image and man. The burner buzzed. Unknown Estonian number. Two words. Liga Hilja. Too late. The chill in the room grew personal, and for the first time all night she felt truly arrived. Morning crawls over Tallinn like smoke that never finished turning into sky. Frost drifts between the medieval brick and the black pines, an uneasy ceasefire of seasons. Natalie is up first, lips chapped, eyes unlit. She raps Cruz's door with one knuckle. The blue drive in her other hand hums as if it knows more than it should. Cruz sits in boxer shorts before an improvised ops rack, laptops crowding an ironing board, antennas prickling at the ceiling plaster. He doesn't glance up. "You're early," he grunts. "Tell me that's coffee. We're rolling in 10. Drone scouting says the burn site's clear. Jay awake? Bath's her armory. Merrick's bringing wheels. Cruz tilts his head. The faintest nod. Understanding, solidarity, a promise to keep doubt off the surface. Natalie moves on before the next thought can lodge. Their van arrives as a rattling diesel relic, Merrick behind the wheel. He hands Natalie a battered thermos, something black, bitter, alive. "Drink up," he says. "The day won't do you favors." Jay slings herself into the driver's seat, muttering half-formed curses in Korean every time the transmission kicks. Merrick rides shotgun. Natalie and Cruz wedge between hard cases of gear. Reception bars die one by one as Old Town's spires give way to battered suburb, then to the slow, pine-stitched rise of country. "You've got eyes overhead?" Natalie asks. "Crowfly drone, 10 clicks out," Cruz replies. "Low power, passive imaging." "Pull the transponder once we're close," Jay says. "Analog only inside the ring." Merrick snorts. "Best privacy is still pen and flame." Wind skims through cracked seals in the van doors. Cruz chews a protein bar that smells like sawdust wearing chocolate's coat. Natalie counts breaths, memorizes the ration of miles to heartbeats. The track to the cottage is a knife-thin scar through peat and ice barely wider than the van. Smoke no longer rises, yet ash lifts at every gust, glittering like iron filings. They dismount wordlessly. Merrick favors his right knee. Old injury, newer guilt. Jay shoulders the biometric kit. Cruz gathers sensor arrays. Natalie walks last, scanning treeline, listening for the sort of silence that means microphones. The cottage is a husk. Rafters sag, varnish bubbled into malignant pearls. Natalie kneels beside Elias's rucksack, its nylon miraculously intact beneath collapsed stone. She opens it, warped papers, a half-melted thumb drive, a sheet of polymer no bigger than her palm, dimpled with partial prints. Jay extends her Analytac wand. The beep when carbonized bone is absent is almost a relief. "No body," she confirms. "Scorch patterns are directional," Merrick adds, crouching. "Accelerant placed, not spilled. Someone wanted a clean stage." Natalie studies the polymer. "Run it offline. If those ridges match Elias, we keep it to ourselves." Cruz's gaze flicks upward. "Drone feeds fuzzy. Packet loss I can't explain." "Kill outbound," Jay says, already unscrewing the kit's battery. "We're not alone." Headlights smear through the trees. 2 Skoda sedans grind to a stop at the gate. 2 fire marshals in stale coveralls, and a tall man in an off-brand parka that tries too hard to be ordinary. The shorter marshal trundles forward. "Official sight," he says in English thick as raw lumber. "Your purpose?" Merrick answers in Estonian, badge in hand. "Insurance survey. Brussels demands paperwork. You know how it is." The marshal's eyes weigh the equipment, the foreigners, the ashes that still hiss in the dirt. He steps back, unwilling but unconvinced. Meanwhile, the tall man pretends to text, gaze flitting like a metronome. Cruz murmurs, "Who's the chaperone?" "Not fire department," Merrick replies. "Probably the other choir." Natalie's phone buzzes, screen floods white, a single word, willingly. It vanishes before she can kill the power. Above them, the drone whines, then pitches. Cruz's tablet spasms. "I'm not in control," he says. "Command uplink hijacked, Milgrade spoof." The video stutters, flips to a high-angle shot of their cluster. Words superimposed in Russian, then English. "He came to us willingly." "Record," Natalie whispers, though she knows the feed's already theirs. Jay closes the biometric case. "Time to disappear." As if on cue, the tall man barks into his handset. One marshal pops the Skoda's trunk, metal clinks inside. Cruz glances up. The drone angles downward, intent, malevolent. "Impact in 5. "Abandon it," Natalie orders. "Move." The team scrambles for the van. Ash churns, stinging eyes and lungs. The drone slams into the cottage remains, wood shatters, a brief gout of sparks arcs into November air. An unfamiliar chemical stink rides the breeze. Jay guns the engine before Natalie even latches the sliding door. Mud fishtails under tread, spruce flashes past in blurred, serrated columns. Cruz stuffs hardware into a Faraday pouch, hands shaking. "Phone's dead," Natalie snaps. Already bricked, Jay replies, knuckles white on the wheel. If we're lucky, they only painted us, not tagged us. They wanted a show, Cruz says, voice thin. That message was theater. Marek exhales through his nose, the sound hard as gravel. Theater ends in interrogation if we linger. Rain begins as a scattershot patter, quickening to needles. Natalie presses the polymer sheet into Jay's free hand. Verify the print when we're dark. 5% match buys us hope. Anything higher buys us leverage. Cruz stares at the empty space where screens used to glow, as if faith itself had short-circuited. Jay's jaw sets, calculating next moves. Marek watches the side mirror, every passing headlight a threat. The cottage, the marshals, the man in the parka, all fold into the forest behind them. What follows is quieter than pursuit and twice as dangerous. Doubt, alive in every silence. Tallinn's skyline finally hovers ahead, slate roofs pooling dusk. Natalie feels the city receive them like a locked room. Inside that lock, she tells herself, Elias still fits the key. The van's engine coughed once, died, and the night closed around them. Ice needles rattled on the roof. Inside, breath fogged the glass until the world outside was only neon smear. Natalie stayed still, letting silence settle. Cruz unwound a snarl of cable with the care of someone suturing nerves. Jay emptied the Faraday pouch, turned the gutted phones over in her palm, and dropped them like stripped bones. Marek watched Natalie, jaw set, the look of a man who knew how many kinds of betrayal the dark could hold. Jay broke first. Langley's hemorrhaging. 2 minutes after we launch a drone, someone hijacks it. Who sold us? No one who knows our faces, Natalie answered. The breach isn't in Virginia. Cruz tried for a grin, failed. Whoever touched us writes their own math. Or flew in with us, Jay said, gaze flicking to Elias's rucksack. Marek cut through. Later. Right now we need a lead that isn't manufactured. He slid an envelope across the seat. Old Soviet surveys. Places the maps forgot. Natalie unfolded the paper. Lasnamai, a concrete reef of housing blocks in the tunnels beneath, glimmered in faint red pencil. Elias, she asked. Last sighting, Marek said. If he cached anything, it's there, and Burevestnik's already sniffing. Cruz exhaled. Tall ceilings, bad wiring, I'm in. Someone stays topside, Jay warned. If comms die again, we need an exit. Cruise underground, Natalie decided. Jay keeps the van hot. We move now, before whoever staged that EM resets. The engine turned over, and the van slid into rain-polished streets. Lasnamai at midnight looked unfinished. Cranes gone, but scaffolds left behind. Sodium lamps hummed over murals of fractured birds. The van bumped behind a shuttered factory, brakes sighing. 1 hour before the clubs spill out, Jay said. Eyes up. Marek picked a lock on a rusted service door. Police don't patrol what isn't on the map, he murmured, and beckoned them through. The stairwell dropped fast, walls sweating. Above, Jay sealed the door, breathed into the headset once, just enough for Natalie to know she was there. Below, the corridor widened into a chamber tiled in dust-colored mosaics, half of them molting. Natalie's boots scuffed grit that smelled of salt and old ozone. Three routes, Marek whispered. Storm drains, grid access, main construction. We want distance, follow the art. They turned into graffiti. A crooked sun, a crow with splintered wings. Dissident tag 76, Marek said. Every artist disappeared. Cruz adjusted his headlamp. Let's avoid their luck. The ceiling sank. They stooped. Water dripped in steady metronome. Natalie pictured Elias crouched in this same throat of concrete, sliding a drive into pipework, walking away because walking toward her had become impossible. An electric cough broke the thought. Marek knelt, probing the floor. A copper loop glinted. EMP tripwire, he said. Fresh. Mirror charge above? Natalie asked. Cruz swept the beam upward. Clear. I can damp the pulse if he severs clean. Marek worked cutters with hands that remembered steadier days. Natalie kept watch, breath shallow. Topside, Jay caught the tremor on her board, an unfamiliar RF hum. She tagged the packet, stored it. Insurance. Wire's cold, Marek said. Move. They pressed on, echoes doubled back at them, each footfall bringing its ghost. Ahead, the passage pinched around new razor wire. Voices drifted. Russian, nervous. Jay's whisper crackled in their ears. Motion above you, stairwell 3 o'clock. Cruz swallowed. Thermals say 4 bodies, closing. Natalie raised a fist. Hold. A shriek ripped from Mark's detector, then silence. Headlamps blinked out, Cruz's goggles spat blue sparks. Watches died, the dark collapsed, EMP. Gunfire hammered the corridor, wild and frightened. Russian shouts ricocheted. Natalie yanked Cruz sideways into a drainage alcove. Merrick dived after. "Stay down," she murmured. Flashlights ahead sputtered, went black. Panic answered panic. Metal clanged, boots retreated. "They pulled us here," Merrick breathed. "Drive's bait." Natalie centered her grip on the pistol, tasting copper in the air. "We're alive, that's leverage. First edge we get, we cut out. Quiet till then." Cruz's hands shook. She covered them with her own until the tremor eased. Topside, Jay stared at dead monitors, only streetlight in the windshield and her own pulse for company. She keyed the mic, voice level. "Block's dark. I'm holding the door." Underground, the team listened to the blackness settle, waiting for the next mistake to belong to someone else. Natalie's pulse pounded loud enough to drown thought, yet in the hush after the gunfire she caught a soft scrape, rubber on stone, 3 meters away and low to the ground. She found Cruz's wrist in the dark and pressed twice. "Wait." Marek eased forward, slid a flashlight from his coat, tapped its barrel against the wall. "Wait, wait, move," then snapped a thin beam down the corridor. The passage held only the stink of ozone. Beyond the burnt tripwire, two Russians lay tangled, rifles forgotten. One fumbled for a magazine, the other stared up at the light, panting. "We've got maybe 2 minutes," Marek said. "Electronics are toast. Comms live upstairs." "Which way?" Natalie asked. "Maintenance hatch." His beam found a rust-flecked ladder. She holstered her pistol and climbed. Halfway up, a slick rung bit her shin. Pain flashed white, but she kept moving. Cruz followed. Merrick came last, kicking a loose rifle farther into darkness. At the top, a bolted grate blocked them. Merrick rammed a shoulder, once, twice. On the third hit, it screeched open and Baltic Knight poured in. They spilled onto a weed-choked courtyard. Blood soaked Natalie's pant leg. Cruz tore a strip from his shirt and knelt. "Deep cut, hold still." "Later," she said. "Jay?" No radio, but headlights dipped at the alley mouth, the van rolling dark, engine barely ticking. Jay waved them in. Inside, Cruz cinched a pressure bandage while Merrick watched the rear view. Jay drove, lights off, thumb working a hooded tablet. Rubber whispered over cobbles before anyone spoke. "Who else knew we were in Lasname?" Cruz asked. Jay tossed him a thumb drive. "Langley pinged us 7 minutes before the pulse, routed through Ankara, bounced home, not Russian, ours." Cruz's jaw set. "Name?" "Still digging. They scrub hard." Natalie kept her voice flat. "Digital's dead till we clean house. Merrick?" "Analog only," he said. "Next meet stays offline." They rode in silence, city lights thinning to harbor gloom. Pain burned behind Natalie's kneecap. She welcomed the clarity. Terminal D loomed, ferry decks blazing under sodium glare. Jay nosed the van behind a stack of freight. For a moment no one moved, breathing the metallic scent of sleet. "Cruise with me," Natalie said. "Jay, guard the uplink. Merrick, keep the engine warm. 5 minute window. If we're not back, leave." She and Cruz boarded, hoods up against needling snow. Diesel and disinfectant haunted the corridors. Passengers wandered, tourists on paper, watchers in truth. The informant waited in the midship lounge, skin waxy, eyes jittering. "Your clock's off," he said. "Langley's feed bends straight to Petersburg." "Proof," Natalie replied. He slid a battered phone across the table. Blue LED pulsed, logs open. "Last three pings are me. The rest, your ops, mirrored in real time." Cruz held a scanning key above the screen. "Ghost admin tags every air gap." "Give us a name," Natalie said. "Or my people won't burn diesel keeping you alive." The man swallowed. "Thursday lunches, Panera by the loop, blue sedan." His words broke into a twitch. He whispered, "Otrabaka," then folded forward, dead before his forehead touched the glass. Cruz checked. No pulse. Remote cardiac kill. Micropulse through the phone. Natalie scanned the lounge. No one looked up. She wrapped her leg in the dead man's scarf, anger colder than the snow raking the windows. The PA announced 20 minutes to departure. Back on the vehicle deck, Jai pressed fresh gauze to the wound. His logs vanished line by line. "We're next if we stay online." Marek rested a hand on the doorframe. "Network's poisoned. The root sits on Sarama." An unfamiliar phone vibrated in Cruz's pocket, no caller ID. He handed it to Natalie. A single word, male, calm, Sarama. The line went dead. Snow whirled through the open deck, veiling faces, making every shape uncertain. Trust felt like counterfeit currency, conversation, and exposure. Above them, the ferry's engines rumbled, indifferent to the secrets sealed inside. They ditched the rental at the docks, a rust-flecked witness left to drown in sleet among scrap metal. Marek's people on Muhu met them with a battered Toyota and a satchel labeled engine parts. Inside, three SIGs, a coil of C4, and a brick of bailout euros. Nobody bothered with small talk. Even lies felt traceable. Night belonged to a gutted fisherman's shed, shingles lifting in the wind. Natalie lay on straw, leg pulsing through Cruz's blood-soaked bandage, running contingencies until exhaustion finally stole the numbers. Every solution ended at the same question. If Elias chose this, what did it cost to bring him back? Dawn crawled in, dim and salt gray. Jay and Marek pinged a phantom trawler at staggered intervals, verifying the reply string twice before they believed it. The boat that materialized looked harmless, a broad-beamed relic still reeking of herring. Its captain, knuckles like barnacles, asked only for diesel and silence. While gear disappeared into fish tubs, Marek drew Natalie aside. You're not obligated to land on that island. He's there, she said. Alive, yes. Willing? That's different. His gaze held hers. If the moment comes, choose conscience over orders. She gave the smallest nod. It would have to do. Rain slashed sideways as the trawler cleared the breakwater. Jay huddled by the bow, scarf bright against the steel sky. Three sealed packets left on Elias's drive, she told Cruz. Run the wrong one. The payload burns itself. And maybe us. Could be insurance, he said. Could be a dead man's switch. He looked older than the dawn. Halfway across the gulf, the wind veered north, carrying knives of ice. Saramah rose out of spray. Black pine, one derelict radar tower, and inland, the Govic Manor crouched like a bunker, pretending to be heritage. They landed a kilometer east of the marked beach. The captain offered a dented thermos of coffee, then vanished into rain. Marek unfolded a waxy field map. Radar tower here, manor tucked behind. Cruz kills grid, Jay blinds cameras. Speak, you and I go through the airshaft. Clear, Jai said, already tracing satellite dead zones on her tablet. Wait, Cruz said. They ducked behind a mossed revetment. He laid a stripped phone and a length of cable on the mud. Director Lee ordered me to trace you. They threaten my family. After the tunnel, I ran one spike, then rerouted everything into noise. My people are safe in Toronto, but there's a live back door. I'm your leak. Natalie's fists tightened. Jay's thumb hovered near her holster. Cruz peeled insulation from the cable and let rainwater short the leads. Give me 15 seconds and I can blind their comms. After that, cut me loose or put me down. Your call. Jay's voice stayed flat. We'll need that jam. Natalie met Cruz's eyes. Do it, and stay alive long enough to close the door behind us. He managed a crooked nod. They moved. Pines swallowed them, ground soft with weeks of rain. Jay whispered updates. Light tower 50 meters. Motion 70. Eastern drain blind. Cruz synced his stub antenna to a dying battery. A red LED winked, then went dark. Far off, an alarm chirped, perimeter stumble. Glass-riddled hothouse, rusted holly wire, a service door half hidden by nettle, the manor's weak flank. Natalie tested the handle with her pistol barrel. Inside, stale fluorescent glow and a forest of cables led to a blast door stamped in Cyrillic and bad history. Jay scanned. Perimeter cycling back in 5-4. Floodlights crashed on. A klaxon shrieked down the corridor. Go! Marek barked. Cruz lurched, scarlet blooming across his side. Natalie grabbed his arm. Blood slicked her gloves. Leave me, he rasped. I jam. You find him. Marek shattered the alarm housing with a single round. Lights fluttered, but the klaxon held. Voices shouted closer. Jay dumped the last encryption blocks, raw code hissing off her drive. 10 seconds, Natalie. Cruz crawled beneath a stairwell, jamming his transmitter into the relay. Sparks spat. The klaxon sagged a tone. Natalie locked eyes with him. Gratitude, apology, command. All in a heartbeat, then ran. Marek shoved the blast door. Servos groaned, magnets released. She and Jay slipped through as Cruz's vest took another round, his blood streaking the tile. Beyond the door, a narrow corridor stinking of gun oil and ozone. Sirens echoed inside the concrete like metal breathing. Behind them, the door slammed, sealing Cruz's fading heartbeat on the other side. Bootsteps pounded. Russian, and maybe not only Russian. Somewhere under this roof, Elias waited, reason still unread. Natalie chambered around, felt her leg flare, and pushed forward. In the dark ahead, conscience and duty marched toward the same intersection, and one of them would have to yield. The fire doors slammed, swallowing the echo of Cruz's defiant gunfire. Alarms beat against the storm outside, glass panes rattling like loose molars. Inside the villa, Jaundiced ceiling lamps smeared every wall with the color of spoiled linen. Natalie limped forward, keeping her pistol low and tight. Pain threaded her knee, but rhythm held. Merrick eased beside her, shotgun loose in the crook of one arm, reading each gust of stale air as if the plaster itself might shoot back. Jay followed, tablet glowing auroral codes across her cheekbones. A junction yawned ahead. One velvet drape, once burgundy, now moth-chewed, veiled half the corridor. Behind it, footfalls, three on the right, one on the left, boot soles scuffing in nerves. Jay's lips shaped the count. Natalie slipped left. The closest guard registered movement, not intent. Her suppressed round cut his sentence mid-throat. Merrick's scattergun punched the second man back into wallpaper roses. The third, barely 20, dropped his rifle and flattened himself, muttering spasiba through chattering teeth. Merrick kicked the weapon down hall. "Stay flat," he growled. Jay knelt by the elevator panel, jacking a wire into the diagnostics port. Lights fluttered, settled to a calmer, funeral white. "Lockdown cycling," she whispered. "I can buy 60 seconds. After that, iron curtain." Natalie turned to the prone guard. "Server room?" he pointed with trembling fingers. "Three doors up, left." They left him in the stench of cordite and fear. The archive door, mahogany battered at the latch, waited under a dead bulb. Jay brushed the hinge, frowned. "Contact fuse inside. Blink wrong, we're smoke." "Diffuse? If I can touch the bus, I own the circuit." Three heartbeats, a crisp snap, and the lock surrendered. They slipped through. Cold air, filtered and chemical, held the tang of desiccant. Racks of drives climbed the walls like frozen waterfalls. Paper maps yellowed beneath heat lamps. At the center, hands bound with his own tie, sat Elias. The years fell away from his face, yet left fatigue behind. "You actually came," he said, voice soft, Prague whiskey echoing in it. Merrick lifted the shotgun. Natalie signaled him down. "You staged your death, pulled us into this meat grinder." "Why?" Elias nodded toward a black drive taped with both Langley seals and Russian custom stickers. "Because tomorrow a firmware patch goes live. Substations, ATC, medical grids. One keystroke, half of Europe coughs itself dark. Langley's betting Moscow takes the blame. Moscow's praying it can't be traced. No one's stopping the countdown." He flexed an elbow against the tie tourniquet and managed a rueful smile. "I tried every channel. The only ears left were here." Jay scanned the hall camera. 2 minutes. Mixed team, Spetsnaz and unknown Western suits. Natalie weighed the drive. In memory, she saw crews bleeding a country away, saw every covert funeral her director had called necessary. "Options? Burn the data, walk," Elias offered. "Or drag me out and paint targets on our backs big enough for satellites." Jay's fingers danced across her tablet. "I can trigger suppression gas, wipe these servers clean. Proof dies with the room." Merrick's jaw worked, gravel on gravel. "Choose fast." Boots slapped metal outside, Russian barked, then crisp American English. "Black team, breach." Natalie stepped to Elias. "Do you still trust me?" A weary nod. "Always did." Speak, that was the problem. She pressed the drive to his palm, then holstered her weapon. "Jay, flood it. Marek, shoulders." Jay punched the override, hiss of argon rolled like winter surf, lights dimmed. Outside, shouted orders tangled with coughing fits, the gas leaking under the door bought seconds. Marek hauled Elias up. Natalie grabbed the tie, sliced it free, and together they slid into the blinding cloud. One stun round, one shotgun blast, confusion bloomed. They reached the stairwell. Jay hurled sodium behind them, caustic snow choked pursuit. At ground level, a side door buckled open, morning squall cutting through chemical stink. 300 meters of birch stood between them and the access road. They ran. A helicopter hawked overhead, searchlight spearing frost. Jay sent a string of code. The rotor wobbled, spotlight dying mid-arc. Wind swallowed its retreat. They hit the tree line as an armored SUV fishtailed into view. Two suits strode out, badges square, weapons level. The woman spoke first, voice lacquered in DC discipline. "Director Lee sends regards. Leave the asset, walk away." Natalie stepped forward, legs screaming. "Asset's a man, he's coming with us. Hand the drive." The male agent held his pistol with range shooting serenity. Natalie showed empty palms. "Archives ash. Pull the trigger if you need a scapegoat." Above, floodlights on the villa swung skyward, broadcasting a file tree. Names, timestamps, Jay's send-off to every lurking drone. The woman's gaze tightened. "You've made your career very short." "Then I'll spend what's left living," Natalie said. A long, electric pause. the agents holstered. You never existed, the woman muttered, turning back toward the Jeep. Marek exhaled. Move. They threaded the birches, badge from a stunned Russian flashing when needed, and reached the waiting trawler. The captain offered no commentary. Diesel spoke for him. Dawn found them at Talon's private customs shed, frost silvering every rivet. Policemen of three flags compared warrants, no two identical. Amid the bureaucratic snarl, Natalie's group became background noise. Elias lay in the back of a courier van, pulse oximeter glowing like a secret promise. Jay disappeared briefly. When she returned, her eyes were rimmed red. Cruz's body is with the Russians. I spoofed a call. His mother thinks he's wheels down in Toronto. Natalie swallowed sand. He died keeping a door closed. Make sure it stays closed. Marek handed her a coin, Soviet Kopeck worn smooth. They want a statement for the files. She closed his fingers around it. Give them a myth, they've always preferred those. He studied her a moment. Right thing, she almost smiled. The right thing's a compass without north. Today we settled for less blood. Across the apron, the van bearing Elias rolled toward a gate unmarked on any map. He lifted two fingers in farewell, small, almost shy. Then he was gone. Jay slung her pack. Lines are cold. Where to? Natalie watched the horizon shift from lead to pewter. New names, quieter ghosts. A jet lifted, engines muted by distance, carving sky the color of unfinished paper. Wind cut across the tarmac, erasing footprints before anyone could decide what story to tell. They let it erase theirs. Thank you for choosing A Story Publishing.